America was founded for the most part by those seeking religious freedom. For example, the Puritan settlements in Massachusetts and beyond wrote in 1643 in the New England Confederation, quote, "We all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace," end quote. Well, fast forward to today, and we see the recent attack against the church during the actual Sunday morning worship service in the Minneapolis area. Alex McFarland is a Christian youth specialist, the author of 21 books. He provides a Christian worldview on today's topics, and he joins us now on Vocal Point to discuss this recent disruption of a church service. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Alex, it's always a pleasure to have you back on. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Newcomb. It's great to be on.
I understand this was not only unruly and, disorderly, but apparently was even illegal.
Yeah, I mean, it is trespassing, and it's disrupting the worship service. Would be like going in and obstructing the day at a place of business.
All right, let's step back, and for those who maybe they're not familiar with the story, why don't you go ahead and set the table for us? What happened on January 18th?
Sure, on Sunday, January 18th, the worship service was disrupted by leftist protesters. Among the beefs they have with conservatives and or conservative Christians was, securing the borders and the deportations, by ICE agents, but also, LGBTQ trans issues, and the worship service was disrupted. And we've got to remember, Dr. Newcomb, that a church, while yes, the doors are open and our arms are open to tell people about Jesus Christ. At the very same time, a church is private property. And could you imagine, oh my goodness, could you imagine the apocalypse that would ensue if they had gone to disrupt the prayers at a mosque? I'm not a gambler, but I would confidently wager large sums that they will never disrupt the goings-on at a mosque or other non-Christian gatherings. It specifically was designed to intimidate and bully, and I'm sure they would hope silence the social involvement of conservatives and or Christians.
Okay, what kind of church was this in the first place? And then also tell us some of the things that the protesters said and did.
Well, I believe it was a Catholic church, wasn't it?
I've read that it was a Baptist church. And as I looked at the actual building and background, I thought, I'll bet you this is an independent evangelical church affiliated with the Baptist that somehow purchased an historic type church building, because it had a liturgical feel, the building itself, but not necessarily. I didn't see any portions of the service. I only heard the yelling from the protesters. So
I have to confess ignorance that I don't know that much about the church theologically. But you're right; it did look rather liturgical. But they had their reasons for sure, and I would say, we've for years have witnessed church shootings and violence and vandalism. And, it's interesting that the targets are conservative Christians, but also Jews. And the burning of synagogues and the vandalism and the anti-Semitism that has been, unfortunately leveled against Jewish people. This seems to be increasing. And what I would say is that, just as the Apostle Paul, when necessary, the Apostle Paul would invoke his Roman citizenship, because just because we are, loving and, harmless as a dove, that doesn't mean that we're to be a doormat. And just as the Apostle Paul would, flex his Roman citizenship, his, credentials as a Roman citizen, I think that Christians and pastors and Christian organizations and Jewish organizations too, should avail themselves to everything they can do legally to protect their rights, right to free assembly, right to carry out their business unobstructed. Merely because it's a church doesn't mean that people don't have rights and should have equal protection before the law. And these agitators, these well-organized, well-funded agitators, they need to face legal consequence for the laws they've broken. And my goodness, talk about a hate crime. If there is such a thing as a hate crime, this is it.
And one of the things, you know, I could see in some of the videos, there was one of the protesters was basically chiding these people as if they're phony Christians because they're there in a church and maybe some of them were, you know, had drunk a latte or something like that, but they didn't care about the poor. The crazy thing is that, you know, in effect, what they're doing, that is the protesters, they are protesting ICE's attempt to get rid of bad hombres, if you will, illegals who've committed crimes. And a lot of those crimes are actually against children. And yet these protesters were accusing the congregants of being opposed to children by being silent in the face of ICE's attempt to extract these bad hombres, you know, from Minnesota and bring them, you know, to some, you know, holding cell or something like that elsewhere.
Well, you know, think about this. And part of the protest, too, and part of the shouts were about the death of Renee Good. But, you know, her former father-in-law, Mr. Macklin, stated that he did not blame ICE for her death. And he said if she, quote, had been walking in the Spirit of God, end of quote, she would not have been at the scene. So here's the thing. The protesters, whether they be the, and it is believed that some of the protesters that were there at the city's church in St. Paul, Minnesota on January 18, there were almost 40 protesters, some of which are known to be former BLM protesters of Black Lives Matter, Minnesota. And they were shouting, you know, justice, this and that. But the protesters are very selective about the justice that they will go for. I mean, the very same protesters that will talk about the rights of indigenous people will also deny Israel's right to exist. I mean, my goodness, if there ever were an indigenous people group in the world, it's the Israelites in the land of Israel. And then, you know, while they'll talk about, you know, Black Lives Matter, unborn lives don't matter. And so, you know, these social justice warriors that are willing to break the law to try and advance their globalist, Marxist, woke causes, they're very selective about what they will stand for. And part of the reason that they're inconsistent hypocrites is because they are not standing for truth. They're for ideology and narrative and political leverage. But we, you know, I think about this, you know, St. Augustine said it, Aquinas said it, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said it. A truly just state is a state based on the laws of God, that the laws of man, the only truly moral and just laws of man are laws that emanate from and comport with the laws of God. And in many ways, Dr. Newcomb, America, though our Declaration, Preamble, Constitution, Bill of Rights, even 50 out of 50 state constitutions reference God. And by that, the founders certainly meant the biblical God. But apart from our founding that must be restored, we are a very unjust nation these days because we've got so many laws that not only don't square with the natural law and the Ten Commandments, but they actively oppose them. If we are to remain for another 250 years, which it'll take the grace of God for that to happen, we've got to go back to being a just state based on godly laws, just laws.
Isn't it interesting? Here you're talking about godly laws and just laws and so forth, and here we're talking about really a protest in a Christian church. I mean, that is, it did get headlines because that is, thankfully, that is kind of rare in the big picture of things. I mean, I can't remember. Well, there was a protest at St. Patrick's Cathedral maybe 20 years ago when somebody desecrated, you know, the hosts, the elements. But it was very, you know, modest compared to this attack.
Sure. Well, you know, in, I believe it was about 1845 that the term manifest destiny was given. Was it John O'Sullivan, the publisher and writer? And the concept of American exceptionalism or manifest destiny was the mindset that God himself blessed and was blessing America because we were based on biblical principles. And, you know, Jefferson used the term self-evident truth. Washington used the term natural law, the laws of nature, nature's God. But that we were a nation that was not giving rights piecemeal, but guarding the inalienable rights we've been given by God. You know, in 1630, the Puritan lawyer John Winthrop, you know, urged his fellow passengers on the Arabella to build, quote, a city on a hill. And that was really a reference to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7. And John Winthrop urged the colonists to make New England a model for future settlements. And he said, the eyes of all people are upon us. Meaning that as they came to forge the new world on the North American continent, it was intended by the founders to be a place where God's truth shaped the culture. You know, Alexis de Tocqueville in 1840, he wrote this, quote, "The position of the Americans is quite exceptional, and it may be believed that no democratic people will ever be placed in a similar one." And I agree, what we have here is so precious and so unique, and for a quarter millennia, America has enjoyed prosperity, stability, and liberty like other epochs of human history could not have even dreamed of. And Dr. Newcomb, you know, we cannot stand for the lawlessness. The global Marxists, they are counting on destabilizing the culture, creating disorder to introduce new order. And that new order, the new world order. And I just want to call on, yes, citizens, parents, young people to know Christ and to be an informed, engaged citizen. But Dr. Newcomb, I want to call on my fellow ministers, clergy. Do not believe the lie that we're just to be silent and passive. Yes, our home is heaven, but until we're in heaven, we are to absolutely be salt and light in the culture. And that's going to mean saying some uncomfortable things. That's going to mean getting a little bit out of our comfort zone, perhaps. But pastors are speaking into the lives of 100 million congregants every weekend. And I call on my fellow clergy to engage people, inform, inspire, tell people to vote, and vote godly, constitutionally. Most important thing in life is the Great Commission, but the second most important thing is to keep it legal and possible to devote ourselves to the Great Commission. And the bullying, the threats, even the violence of the woke left, that will not stop Christ's church.
Amen. And we'll end on that note. AlexMcFarland.com. There's a D at the end of there. Alex, thank you. All the best. God bless.
Thank you, Dr. Newcomb.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.